There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
I know you're there. Don't be afraid.
I am not afraid.
Then come out.
Then you'll be afraid.
All the other fairies fly. Why don't you?
I had wings once. They were strong, but they were stolen from me. There is evil in this world. Hatred and revenge.
Bring me her head.
I call on those who live in the shadows. Fight with me now!
Is it true? Are you Maleficent?
The trailer for the next big blockbuster from Disney, Maleficent, it's a retelling of the Sleeping Beauty story with not a lot of Sleeping Beauty in it, mostly Maleficent, this character, played by Angelina Jolie. So it has the star power, it has everything that you expect out of one of these fantasy action movies. What's the message of this movie, Maleficent? Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the movie. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that the director of this movie is banking on something about evil and forgiveness still being, however tenuously, embedded in the American psyche, the North American psyche. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, the director of this movie, he's a brand new director. He's been an art director before. He worked with the writer of this movie on the Alice in Wonderland movie that came out recently by Tim Burton. So this is his kind of first shot at being the director of a movie, being in the director's seat completely, and so he's leaning heavily on the one who helped write it, right? So this Linda Wolverton. Now, what they're kind of banking on is this thought that somewhere out in North American society, there's still this idea that evil needs to be overthrown by love and forgiveness. And that maybe somewhere lurking in there is repentance also. So you see this kind of playing out in the course of the story. But there's also another interesting thing. This is kind of, all of this is kind of coming headlong against Christian capital from history. And you can actually see in a very concrete way how that's happening in the telling of this movie.
So go into a little more detail on that. What is the story there, and what is the Christian capital it is borrowing on?
Well, what it's borrowing on is two things. One thing is the Brothers Grimm version of this story called Briar Rose, and then also it's borrowing more heavily on Charles Perrault's The Sleeping Beauty in the Woods, which is was published in 1697. So if you go and look at that, The Sleeping Beauty in the Woods, you'll see certain things in it. You'll see they'll talk about the baby being christened. They'll talk about godmothers. They'll talk about angels and things like that. These kinds of things show up in it. So there's this kind of Christian capital built into that kind of Renaissance period telling of this folk tale. Sleeping Beauty, of course, is a property. The movie from 1959 is a property of Disney. This movie, Maleficent, is a property of Disney. So they're going to go back to the original Sleeping Beauty cartoon that they made and draw heavily from that, which also drew heavily from Charles Perrault and his fairy tale, his folk tale. So you can see that this stuff is creeping into the modern movie because of its being drawn upon as source material. So Charles Perrault obviously was using the Christian influence on culture at the time in France when he wrote The Sleeping Beauty in the Woods, and this is coming out now. It's all being recast. The shift is moving away from Sleeping Beauty and the curse and her getting out of the curse to the one who gave the curse, which is Maleficent. So this movie is kind of becomes an origin story for Maleficent, the evil fairy witch that curses Sleeping Beauty.
Now, I've noticed this. You noted a bit too in your review the tendency to kind of want to tell the villain's tale that's coming through with some of these pop culture, the iconic pop culture stories. We used to call them fairy tales. Now we call them, you know, just these things that get remade into movies over and over again and recast and reshaped. The latest retelling of the Oz story had kind of, where did the Wicked Witch of the West come from? What's going on here in telling the villain's side of the story?
I don't know. I've often thought about this, and I think that it's there's a couple different ways to think about this. If we're ever really honest with ourselves, we know that we're villains and that we need to be forgiven. So the villains sometimes are characters that we could kind of gravitate a little bit towards because there can be an honesty in the way that they're presented. Now, with a movie like this, though, there's this additional challenge because they're really trying to recast her as a hero, but still retain some of her being a villain. And that kind of tweaks the mind, maybe for a Lutheran viewer. Not everybody's going to be tweaked in this particular way. It becomes kind of tantalizingly interesting to take that additional track and look at it.
Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. We're talking about the movie Maleficent. And when we come back, we'll go into a little more detail on that. Well, I'll call it kind of the blurring of the line, but there is a truth there, being both saint and sinner. We'll talk about that after this.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues, etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest on this Thursday afternoon. We're reviewing the movie Maleficent. You were speaking before the break about someone resonating with a certain aspect of this story here, and that is she is both villain and hero. You write in your review about recognizing, or at least recognizing a hint of something there, simultaneously saint and sinner. And here's the problem. Maybe it's a help in understanding the overtone in the story as well, Pastor Giese. In my experience, there's not a bright line between those two, saint and sinner. I'm 100% both, but I live on a daily basis as a pretty smudgy blur between the two. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a good thing to think about. Basically, and this is why it's kind of tantalizingly interesting, this movie, because of the Christian capital they're building on, they talk about the christening of the baby, right? The character of Maleficent goes from being a fairy godmother to being the godmother of Aurora, the princess. But the thing that's actually missing from the movie is the actual baptism. So if you're looking for that line that exists actually in the Christian, Jesus in your baptism is that line. And this movie doesn't have it, because it's only borrowing on Christian capital. It's not building on it. It's not bringing more Christian stuff in. So this character is both hero and villain, but the character's justification doesn't come externally. The character is being justified, and this is kind of gets into the American psyche maybe a little bit more, is that the character is justified eventually by her love. The character is justified by things that happened to her. So she becomes justified to do her evil deeds, to take revenge because of the victimizing that she had received. So this kind of gets into the justified by myself based on my merits kind of end of things. So while it looks like it's getting to Simulius Epicata, the thing that's missing from the simultaneously saint and sinner thing is Jesus. But here's the problem, is you can't really expect it to be there in this movie, because that's not the point of this movie. I'd love it to be there. I'd love it for Jesus to be there, but Jesus is not there.
You also wanted to note something about the way that the Maleficent character is depicted. What was that?
Yeah, in going back and just even checking with kind of how the cartoon was made by Disney originally, like if you go and watch, you can find on YouTube little videos talking about how it's all been made, and the animators like specifically talk about giving her devil horns. Like she is very much a villain, and they're and casting the villain in kind of the devil kind of role. So this kind of gets into that sympathy for the devil thing, and it's actually amped up a bit in this movie, because she is given these big wings. So she looks literally at the beginning of the movie like kind of a pop culture vision of what a fallen angel might look like. You know, like she's got the horns and she's got these big wings. So like in some kind of pre-Raphaelite paintings and stuff, you kind of start to see this kind of stuff, like certain images of the devil like this. So like she's very literally, this kind of gets into that area of sympathy for the devil, but it's still grounded in this fairy tale kind of language. So it's still kind of hard to say that that's what's going on, but for all intents and purposes, when people look at this, there is kind of this demonic kind of image that her character is rooted in. And then we have her becoming the hero. That's kind of an interesting thing. I was asked earlier, well, late last week, you know, who is this movie for? This lady, Karen Gallus, asked me, who do you think this movie is for? And it's rated PG. It's set up, I guess, for children. You know, like there's even marketing directly to kids. And Disney is hoping to be able to take this character of Maleficent and take her from the villain side and put her in the fairy godmother side. Maybe keep her in both. Maybe they could double up on their money they can make out of this character. But it's not really for little kids, though. Like, I think that it's too dark and there's parts of it that are too cruel. Even though fairy tales deal with cruelness, it seems like it's maybe not handled as thoughtfully as it could be.
One more question here. The parallel that one might consider in, like, say, the Star Wars saga, where you have a deeply flawed character, feels the universe has dealt him an extremely bad hand, he becomes Darth Vader, but in the end, he is, at least in the Star Wars universe, redeemed insofar as he can be. Does that happen with this character?
Yeah. Actually, you wouldn't probably have this movie if you didn't have that character arc that had been built into the recent Star Wars movies. That really informs this. In fact, it would be kind of fun to talk about some of those Star Wars movies, because there's new ones coming out next year. There's a new one coming out. But yeah, I think that you're dead on the money. This is taking Maleficent and making her a little more like Darth Vader, giving her that Anakin Skywalker background story sort of a thing. But kind of cramming it all into one movie. And it's a short movie, but it does the same sort of thing.
Would you recommend it for kids?
Not really. I mean, if you have a kid that is kind of really wants to see it, I would still say really no. Like, it's not the best of these kinds of movies. It starts off strong. It kind of fails. It, like, falls apart near the end. It just kind of peters out. And there's no really good role models of men in it. At any point, like, if we had more time, we could talk about that too. The men are all cowards. They're treacherous. They're, you know, servile. They're weak. There's no strong male characters either. So it's got gender inequality in that way. It's not a well-rounded movie for children. I kind of think maybe actually the people who would like it might be like teenage girls, about 13 to 15, kind of in that kind of age.
Folks, if you're thinking about seeing the movie Maleficent, read Pastor Ted Giese's review under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our Christ in the Old Testament series will take us to Numbers chapter 11, the interesting encounter with Moses and the 70 elders of Israel. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues, Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175, or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link, Comfort Comfort, on the Issues, Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.